The name is Jehovah Mikdashkim. Mikdashkim. It's the Lord who sanctified us. Our scripture reader, I think she forgot to come up. It's Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7-8. Let us read it together. I don't have it in the PowerPoint. If you have it with your Bible, your iPad, your phone, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. Consecrate yourself and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I'm the Lord who makes you holy. And 22 to 26. Keep all my decrees and law and follow them, so that the land that I'm bringing you to live may not vomit you out. You must not live according to the custom of the nation I'm going to drive out before you. Because they did all these things, I abhorred them. But I say to you, you will possess their land. I will give it to you as an inheritance, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has set you apart from the nations. You must therefore make a difference between clean and unclean animals and between unclean and clean birds. Do not defile yourself by any animal or bird or anything that moves along the ground. Those that I have set apart is unclean for you. You are to be holy to me, because I am the Lord am holy, and I have set you apart from the nation to be my own. Now, today's text is taken from Leviticus. I need my reading glass, so I didn't bring it with me, so my Bible is a bit small. Today's text is taken from Leviticus, and Leviticus is a very difficult book to read. And it was told, a lady was asked, have you read through the Bible? And she said, well, I always read Genesis, Exodus, and when I come to Leviticus, I stop. Because look at it, Leviticus is ritual, purity, sacrifices, ordination of priests, all kinds of ritual. It's a lot of sacrifices. So she said when she read through Genesis, Exodus, and when she comes to the third book of the Bible, she gave up. But do you know that Leviticus is the first book? It used to be the first book that the Jewish children would study in the synagogue. What? But because it's so picturistic, it's so full of imagery, that the Jewish people, when they study the Torah, they will make the children study Leviticus. Now, when God rescued the people out of Egypt, he didn't just rescue them. He didn't just redeem them. But he saved them for a very unique purpose. God set them free to be a nation of priests. And in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So every child, every woman, every man, when they are rescued out from slavery in Egypt, God actually ordained them to be a nation of priests. And God also chose to live among them. And when they were in the Sinai desert, God actually set the tabernacle in the middle of their camp. So the 12 camps, the 12 tribes were to gather all over, and they are very specific where they should gather. But the tabernacle is inside, in the middle of their camp, because God always wants to live in the community with us. For the Jewish people, all of life moves around God. There's no separation of holy or secular. And for the Jewish people, there should be, when God lives beside you, it's inside you or among you, it's either a movement away from God or a movement towards God. So for the Israelite, it should be like that. And because God lives with them, among them, they need precepts, they need principle, they need laws and all that to govern them, because God is living among them. So the book of Leviticus is that. Now, a story was told. This child, she after coming out from church, she told the mom, "I'm very confused with the sermon today." And the mom asked her, "Why?" And she said, "Well, the preacher said God is bigger than us." And the mom said, "Yes." And he also said that God lives inside us. And the mom said, "Well, that's true." And the girl said, "If God is bigger than us and he lives inside us, wouldn't he kind of leak in outside of us? He show through?" And that is exactly what God wants to do. He lives inside us and he wants to show through us, our lives reflecting him. God delivers the people of Israel out of Egypt to set them apart. God delivered us out of slavery to sin, also to set us apart. And in 1 Peter 9, verse 2, verse 9 to 11, God also said that to us. "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." God saved us to be Jehovah Makadishkim. God saved us to be so that he could be Jehovah Makadishkim, to make us holy. He wants to show himself through our lives so that others can see God. And Leviticus always says in 20, just now we just read, "Consecrate yourself to be holy because I am the Lord your God who is holy too, and keep my decrees and follow them." And verse 26, "You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from the nations to be holy." Now the name Jehovah Makadishkim is a little different from all the other names that we are studying. This name of God infuses the power of God in our lives. It is an action done to us. We can experience all of God, all that God has for us, because God free us to pursue holiness. Now, three words to help us understand this word, holy, sanctification: common, profane, and holy. All things, all action, all people fall into this three category. The common are the regular things, the ordinary things, the things that are for general use. Nothing special about that. Oh, sorry. The profane, they are things that are polluted, obscene, defiled, or contaminated. These are the destructive action and attitudes. And then the holy, they are the sacred, set apart, they are the special, and they reflect the glory of God, and they are the unpolluted. So all this, they all fall into three categories. Things will remain common until they are either made profane or holy. Common things are neither good nor bad. For example, the days of the week. God created 7 days, and God divided them into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Each day was considered good. But on the seventh day, scriptures say that God set the seventh day apart, and God called it holy. God sanctified it because God separated from the common day. Sanctifying the seventh day doesn't make the sixth, all the other days, bad, but just that God declared the seventh day because it is special, God rested, and God set it apart. That's why we come on Sabbath day, on the Sunday, to worship God, because this day has been separated to worship God. God instructed us to remember the seventh day and to keep it holy. And it becomes holy because it's been separated. This man, Eric Little, some of us may have watched Chariot of Fire. He was a very fast runner in Scotland, winning race after race. And then his trainer, his coach, registered him for the 1924 Paris Olympics. and he was to compete. And he was a sprinter. He can run really fast. But Eric Little had something that was very more important than running: his faith in God. Eric's goal was to follow God and serve him, no matter what the cost. When Eric Little found out that he was accepted in the Olympics, of course he was very excited, but one of it was his race had to be run on the Sunday. And Eric was very determined not to consecrate, defile the Sabbath. So he would not compete on the Sunday. He wanted the Lord's Day, the Sunday, to be a day of worship and rest, and he's not going to change it just for the Olympics. But the people of Scotland has, you know, sponsored him, brought him to Paris, and they were outrageous. How dare he not compete? And even though there was a lot of pressure on Eric Little, he would not compromise his principle. Finally, a solution was found. The Olympics committee agreed to allow Eric Little to, he didn't sign up for that, but allow him to compete in the other race, the 200 and the 400 meters. And he never trained for that. But then, though he faced a lot of competition and it was out of his league, Eric Little surprised the world by setting a new record for the 400 meters. He won a gold and set a new record, and he won a bronze for the 200 meters. And then because of what he did, he's determined to set and not defile the Sabbath, he became famous, and that's where the movie was taken. And he was able to share about his faith with a lot of people through his testimony. Now, when God set us apart, all of us apart, it is in twofold. The first of all is God imputed to us holiness. God imparted to us holiness so that we can be like him in his character. God is holy. He calls us to be holy. God is good. He calls us to be good. God is kind. He calls us to be kind. God is patient. He calls us to be patient. He set us apart to pursue his character. It is not optional. Warren Wisby, he said this: happiness, not holiness, became our chief pursuit for most people today, even including professed Christian. They want Jesus to solve their problem and carry their burden, but they do not want him to control their lives, change their character. But God has said this to his people: be holy, for I am holy. And God meant it. Many scriptures in Leviticus, the book that we are studying, calls for holiness. And even in 1 Peter, and it is like that: be holy, for I am holy. I'm the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Therefore, be holy, because I'm holy. I have made you holy. Be holy, because I'm holy. And God keep emphasizing: be holy, for I am holy. God begins the process of making us holy, for setting us apart, for sanctifying us from sin and unrighteousness. The minute we accept Christ, the minute we ask Jesus into our lives, he made us holy to live under his rule, under his agenda. We became separated, consecrated the moment we accepted Christ. We become not ordinary, we become special. We are transferred from the realm of the common into the realm of the sacred the moment we are saved. Sanctification is what God does for us. I remember one time when I was living with my aunt, and she has this room that nobody uses, but it's set apart. It's kind of set apart. It's the living room. All of us always meet in the kitchen, and we eat in the kitchen, we congregate in the kitchen, and there's a basement, of course, if we want to watch TV. But we never use the living room. It's like the living room is set apart only for guests. And that's what set apart means. It's special. It's only used for certain occasion. And some people, you know, when you visit them for dinner, like maybe Thanksgiving dinner, and they will use their special china, but they will not use it for other occasion when they're eating it. So that is what set apart means. It's special, for special use. And just our worship team, when you come out and worship, God set you apart and used the music that you have prepared so that when we sing, we are worshiping God because you have already prayed for, practiced, and God set you apart to use those songs to help us to praise and worship God. And that is what set apart means. And even AV team, when you use those controller, setting us the sound system for us, God set you apart. And you are special to be used by God. And that's what holiness means. All through the Bible, God set apart his people. But the same is true. God asks us to treat him special, to treat him sanctified. God is holy because he is different from all the other gods. Exodus 20 verse 2 to 3 say, "You shall have no other gods before me." Because he is not the same as all the other gods. He is not like gods that cannot hear, God cannot heal. He is not a God that cannot touch. He is the true and living God. That's why he is holy, because he is set apart from all the other gods, and he wants us to treat him special. He wants us to pursue him apart from all the other gods, all our desire, all our other pursuit. We want to pursue him, not pursue other gods. All the other gods are profane, defiled, and they cannot satisfy. So positionally, sanctification is complete. God gives us the character to be holy. But sanctification is also ongoing. It's a progression. It's a process. Sanctification happens the moment we are saved. But also, we need to be daily sanctified. One of the reasons why some people say that to us, you know, they don't like Christians because they see hypocrisy in us. They say we behave like we don't behave differently from them. They see us Christian also having bad attitude, having this with all our discouragement. They see us not behaving any different from them. And I remember 2 years ago, we invited Mike Palumpo, and he was our camp speaker, and he preached on his book, Lightning in the Bottle. And I'm borrowing from his material. He said, this is us. Before Christ, we are dead in transgression. Our spirit is dead. We are spiritually dead. We have no relationship with Christ. We only live for ourselves. But when we invited Christ into our lives, we are born again. The Spirit of God comes and lives in us. Our spirit becomes alive because of Jesus Christ. We become new creation because we become children of God. We are seated in the heavenly realm. We have the mind of Christ. All this occurs in the blink of an eye because the presence of the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside us, awakening us. Our spirit is made alive, and we have the righteousness of Christ in us. We are justified. We are sanctified. Our spirit becomes united with Christ. And that is perfect. But that's the only part that is perfect. Our body and soul still have many issues. Our body is deteriorating. We have sicknesses. We are aches and pain. But our soul is under attack. Our soul, our emotion is always under attack. We have anger issues. We have rejection issues. We have insecurity. We have fear. We have anxiety. We have a lot of issues in our emotions. That area needs to be sanctified. That area needs to go through the process of transformation. Christians are forgiven, but we do not mature. It doesn't equate maturity. We are set apart from the penalty of sin. But that does not equate that we are removed from the presence of sin. The reason I am still provocable, because I am easily provoked. The reason I am offended, because I am still offendable. The reason I am still irritated, because I am irritable. However, we have the access to the power of God in our lives. the power of Jehovah Makodeshkim empower us, our choices. He has transformed our soul and spirit. We have the DNA of Christ living in us. There are two furniture in the tabernacle. There's the outer court, and this is the, you can see the outer court, and then there's an inner court. The outer court has the altar of burnt offering and the bronze laver. And let's talk about these two furniture. The altar of burnt offering signify our salvation. When the Israelites, when they sin, they have to offer an animal sacrifice on the altar of burnt offering. And that signified the animal, the innocent animal, taking away their sin. And Christ, Jesus Christ, became the substitutionary sacrifice for our sin. And he is the ultimate one because he is the perfect sacrifice, the Son of God, sacrificing for all our sin. And the Israelite was taught that. And we now enable to grasp this reality because Jesus Christ became the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. And when we accept Christ, all the penalty of sin is being paid for. After we have put our trust in Jesus, we need to move forward. We cannot continue to remain in just the salvation. We need to move forward into the next equipment, the next bronze laver, our sanctification. This is where the priests would daily wash their hands, wash their feet, and it's like lather, rinse, repeat, lather, rinse, repeat, scrub, clean yourself. The bronze laver represents our sanctification. We need to daily repeat, ask the Lord to search our hearts. God has designated in us the potential and power to be holy, but we need Jehovah Makodeshkim to continue to search our hearts for the things that lead us to sin. Now, when I was young, I always think holiness is impossible. It's not attainable. Come on, we are human. How is it possible that we can be holy? No way. But God didn't ask us to do it with our self-effort, to try to produce fruit of the Holy Spirit. And recently, we have been doing the emotionally healthy spirituality and the emotionally healthy relationship. And this is what we look like. We look like the iceberg. A lot of times, people see the top of our iceberg. They see maybe some good in us, but they do not see below the iceberg all the issues that we are struggling with, our attitude, our motive, our thoughts, things that people do not see, but God sees them, and God wants to deal with them. God wants to sanctify them. God wants to also cleanse those areas. But until we are made aware of what they are, sometimes we cannot change. And after taking the courses, I learned that God is bringing to awareness of what I'm struggling with. And Pete Scazzaro, the author of this book, always says, slow down and cultivate time with God. Make every effort to spend time with God. Get to know Jesus. Not just reading the Bible or going to Bible study or doing all this, the extrinsic thing, but spend time with God. Get alone with God. Because when God transforms us, our love for God and love for other people will change. And many times we are passionately loving God and we cannot see him, but we love him, but we have difficulty loving people. We cannot change what we are not aware of. Self-awareness helps us to change, helps us to see our faults. But when God does bring us all this thing up, he's not going to condemn us. He convicts us. And when he convicts us, he's saying, you need to change in this area. And when we have an encounter with God, we will realize God wants to change us. Isaiah, when he has a first encounter with God, Isaiah 6 was 1. When King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and mighty, and he saw the seraphim, and he saw all the glory of God. And in verse 5, Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, but my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." And sometimes we need that encounter, we need that fresh touch from God to see where we are so that we can change, so that we can transform. When you build a house, where do you start? Do you start with the roof? No, you start with the foundation. And the foundation for sanctification is actually self-awareness. The foundation of sanctification is actually dying to self, loving God, loving others. And sometimes we see the fault of others, you know. We see the sawdust in other people's eyes, but we cannot see the plank in our own eyes. But when we see our own fault, and when God brings the conviction in our lives, He wants to not to condemn us, He wants to convict us so that He can change us, sanctify us, make us holy. A story was told, this particular leader, he was asked to attend a town hall meeting. And usually town hall meeting, there's a lot of friction, a lot of conflict. And he decided to bring with him a leaking bottle with him. And as he was walking in, the leaking bottle was leaking out a lot of water and drenching the whole floor. And the committee members asked him, "What are you doing? Why are you wetting the whole floor?" And he answered, "My sin, which were many, are leaking behind me, and yet you ask me to judge, to sit in judgment, to judge others." And when the committee members heard this, they disbanded the town hall meeting. So sometimes we see our own sin, we've stopped judging others. We stop gossiping, we stop slandering, because we see, my eyes have seen the glory of God. Who am I to cast insult? Who am I to commend? God, change me. God, change me. Sanctification is an ongoing process, but it also includes the reality of accepting that this is a daily warfare. Warfare, battle doesn't end the minute we accept Christ. It's ongoing. And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are as a Christian. It will come and attack us every day. Temptation will be there every day till the day we die. Unguarded strength is double weakness. We have to guard our soul. We have to constantly guard our heart. Now, inside this, just now we talk about the altar of burnt offering. The bronze laver is sanctification. And then we need to go inside the holy place. And the holy place, you have the altar of incense, and that represents prayer. We need to keep praying. And the table of showbread represents the word of God, scripture. We need to be fed with God's word. And the golden lampstand represents light. Light represents our testimony. We need to continue to testify of how good God is. The purpose of testimony is to say, "Do it again, Lord. Do it again." We have all the goodness. We can see what God is doing in our life. And we say, "God, do it again. Repeat it again in the people, in other people's lives." Recently, we just started Alpha again. And I'm so encouraged that the church is running Alpha, and because the Cantonese team, they are doing all the preparation and cleaning up, we are able to run the Alpha. And we saw, just last week we saw 11 newcomers, and one of them was a Muslim. And there are two Thai, some Korean, some Japanese, some locals. They are asking all good questions, and they are so hungry for the truth. And especially the Muslim guy, he is like I'm done away with Muslim faith. I want to know, is there any other? And God save us to be the light. The purpose of sanctification is so that we can live up the God-given purpose in our life. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15 say, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are saved and those who are perishing." We are to God a pleasing aroma. God wants to use us as an aroma. The quest for holiness is not an effort to become something we were not, but rather to become something we really are. We already are. God already sanctified us. Do you believe this? We are already consecrated. Do you believe this? If you have accepted Christ, He has set you apart. You are holy. But it's either moving away from God or moving towards God. Moving away from God or moving towards God. Invite the worship team to come up.